Last week, I put this slide up, exploring the meaning and relevance of the resurrection, and I gave to you four keys, it seems to me, four foundation stones, perhaps, in terms of everything I say about resurrection in these weeks and the next few weeks. And I'll just put them up again. And the first is this: Jesus was literally and physically raised from death. When I speak of resurrection, I'm not talking about a spiritual resurrection like the coming of a spirit out of a grave or a ghost out of a grave or anything like that. What I'm referring to by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is that he died, he was buried, and he was bodily raised from death. Now, of course, there's dispute about that in some quarters, but as I understand it, that's what I mean. That's what I think the apostles meant. That's what Peter meant when he stood up on the day of Pentecost. This Jesus, you crucified him, he was buried, but God raised him bodily from the dead. The second thing to note is that Jesus' resurrection was unique. In the Bible, we hear stories about people being raised from the dead. And last week we reflected on, for example, Lazarus, who lived. He was a good friend of Jesus, the brother of Mary and Martha. He lived and then he died and he was placed in the tomb. And when Jesus called out, "Lazarus, come out," Lazarus came up out of the grave and lived again. Or we thought about Jairus' daughter, the synagogue ruler. She lived, she was ill. Jairus came to Jesus, "My daughter is unwell." By the time Jesus reached Jairus' daughter, we're told she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "Little girl, get up." And she came back to life again and lived again. And so we could go on as we did last week, just referring to those who had lived and died and by the power of God had been raised to life again. But the resurrection of Jesus is not like those examples. The resurrection of Jesus is different. Why is that? Because Jesus lived. He was crucified. He died and was buried. And when he was raised to life, he went beyond death. When Lazarus lived and died and came back to life, he came back to life that he might die again. Jairus' daughter lived, died, came back to life. She would die again. When Jesus, he lived, he died, he was raised to life, a life beyond death. Resurrection is different in that way. And Jesus appears to the disciples from beyond death, bodily, physically. He was able to say to his disciples, "Come and touch me. See the scars on my hands and in my side and on my feet. Give me fish to eat." He was able to cook breakfast for them on the beach. And yet he did all of that having passed through death. And he says to us, there is life beyond death. That is not simply life where we are and we might die and come back to life. Jesus, when he was resurrected, spoke to us and comes to us from beyond death to say to us, on your journey, there is life beyond death. That's what we mean when we speak about resurrection. And the fourth thing, very important, is that the resurrection of Jesus is the basis of the Christian faith. As we read last week from 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says, if Christ is not raised, you are still in your sins. Your faith is futile. Strong words. If Christ is not raised, you are still in your sins. Your faith is futile. So everything I say in these weeks and in the next few weeks, that really we need to bear in mind what we're talking about. These four things. Now, today, I'm going to talk about resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to speak to you about four pictures. Four pictures. First of all, the first picture will be from the shores of the River Jordan. The second and the third picture will be an upper room, Jesus gathered with his disciples. And the fourth picture is of the day of Pentecost. So four pictures I'm going to ask us just to set in our minds. But as we do so, there are going to be three keys that we're looking for to understand resurrection. Hope we're keeping up with this. Okay, so there's four pictures, but there's three words, three keys that we're going to look for in all sort of these. Three keys to understanding resurrection: obedience, love, and the Holy Spirit. If we're to understand what resurrection means for us. You see, it's all very well understanding what resurrection meant for Jesus. The fact that he lived, he died, he was raised to life beyond death. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for you? So, we have those three keys: obedience, love, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, the first picture, Jesus at the River Jordan. We're told that Jesus gathered with many others. We're told that everybody, when John the Baptist was baptizing, at the beginning of each of the Gospels, that men and women came from all of the surrounding villages and towns to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. We're told that John was preaching a gospel of repentance, of turning people, turning their lives around from whatever their focus was in life, that they might focus on God and they might walk in the way that God had laid out for them. That's what John was appealing to them to do. And as they repented, as they said, I no longer want to live for myself, I want to live for God, so they went into the water and was baptized. And Jesus goes to John and says, I want to be baptized. And I think it's Matthew has the encounter as John saying, well, you know, I know who you are. You know, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. Jesus says, no, we must do this to fulfill what God wants. And so Jesus is baptized. And this, in Mark's gospel, this is what we read. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now, the three words. What were those three words? Obedience, love, and the Holy Spirit. Four words, but three things. Obedience, love, and the Holy Spirit. What do we have here? As Jesus was coming up out of the water, I want to suggest to you that baptism anticipates death and resurrection. When Jesus was baptized, it was an anticipation of his own death and a resurrection. When you were baptized, we often speak about your death, your putting down of your life, your resurrection, not back into the life you once lived, but into a new life. When Jesus came up out of the water, anticipating his resurrection, he saw heaven being torn open, and one of our keys, the Spirit descending on him like a dove. So we have the Holy Spirit in this anticipation of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We have the Spirit. And then the voice from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And so we have these two elements here in this preview, if you like, of Jesus' resurrection. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have love. It's as if the Father is saying to Jesus, the road I have set out for you will come to a point of death. But son, I will raise you. Here is the Spirit upon you to assure you that I will not abandon you to the grave. I will raise you. And here's my words of love for you, to give you strength and to give you courage on your journey. So we have this preview, if you like, of Jesus' resurrection, that anticipation of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And that's the first picture that we have. the first picture possibly for Jesus, that anticipation, that expectation about how things would go for him. So that's the first picture, Jesus as a resurrection. The second picture is the Last Supper. This is Jesus, the passage that we read. Jesus gathered with his disciples to celebrate the Passover feast. He's gathered his disciples together. They have questions for him. They say to him, you know, where are you going? Jesus has said, I'm going to leave you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. If we knew, it'd be okay. We'd come and follow you. But where are you going? And Jesus speaks words of comfort and reassurance to them, saying, it's going to be okay. I'm going to send to you another one just like me. I'm going to send you what he called a counselor. Somebody who will come alongside you and on your journey, just like I, Jesus, have been with you. So I'm going to send another when I'm gone. I'm going to send another who will walk alongside you. The Holy Spirit will be with you. And as Jesus speaks of the journey that he must undertake, a journey that will very shortly take him to the cross and engage him in suffering, some parts of the worst that humankind can offer, he speaks these words to his disciples. Jesus says, the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Jesus, as he anticipates the journey ahead, while the disciples may be going, hang on, are you sure you want to travel this path? He says, the world must learn that I love the Father and I'm going to do exactly what my Father has commanded me. And you will know that Jesus steps out from the occasion of the Last Supper and they cross the valley, go into a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and it is there that Jesus prays and he wrestles with himself and seemingly with God in anticipation of what lies ahead. And he says, well, not my will, but yours. The world must learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what the Father has commanded me. So we had three keys: obedience, love, and the Holy Spirit. What do we have here? We have love and obedience. I love the Father, says Jesus. And because I love him, I'm going to obey him. I'm going to continue this journey. Because I love him and I will obey him. Now, what has this got to do with resurrection, you might ask? Well, understanding Jesus is about to go to the cross. This love that Jesus has for his Father, this desire to obey him, there is also a deep assurance, this confidence Jesus has that the Father will not abandon him to the grave, but will raise him from death. So Jesus has this confidence. The Father will not abandon him, whatever happens to him, but God will raise him from death. We've had two pictures. Let me flick up two pictures. We've had love and the Holy Spirit. That was when Jesus was baptized, the anticipation of his death and resurrection as he comes up out of the water, the gift of the Spirit and the words of love, the love of the Father for his Son, saying, Son, you can know when this happens for real, I will raise you. That was the first picture. The second picture is Jesus' response, love and obedience. I'm hoping, I'm trusting that what God, my Father, has said to me will be true. So we have love and the Holy Spirit, the baptism of Jesus, anticipating resurrection, the Father saying to Jesus, I won't abandon you. And then Jesus explaining to his disciples, I'm going this journey because I love my Father and I must obey him. I am hoping, trusting. This is not hoping. You know, sometimes we talk about hope as we hope it'll rain or you know, we hope simple things will happen. This is a deep-seated trust that Jesus has in his Father, that if I die on this path, I will not be abandoned. Now, the third picture is, again, at the Last Supper. And this is where Jesus speaks again to his disciples, but now instead of speaking about himself and his love for the Father, he challenges them. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Has that ever struck you as quite difficult? If you love me, you'll obey what I command. Remember, in Bible studies as a young man, arguing about this. Does that mean that if I don't obey what Jesus says, is that a real sign that I don't love him? Will God not love me if I don't do what he says? Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, talk about love. We've got love here, and we've got obedience here. And what have we said about those two words? It is about the hope of resurrection. We love him and we will continue a journey, whatever it will get us into, whatever trouble it will get us into, whether it leads to death or dismay. We will continue a journey of following after Jesus because we have this hope that God will raise us from death. Over the Lent period, over the Lent season, on Sunday evenings, we had the opportunity to watch a DVD here. And Dallas Willard and John Ortberg, we watched a discussion between the two of them. And Dallas Willard, reflecting on his book, The Divine Conspiracy, and he spoke about how being a disciple of Jesus is trusting Jesus enough to do what he said. Trusting Jesus enough to do what he said. If you love me, if you trust me, you'll do what I say. Because in that trust is that expectation, that hope, that assurance. Whatever God gets me into, he will get me out. So we have three pictures, but there's still part of the third picture to go. And that's where Jesus goes on to say in that same passage, I'll ask the Father, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. And of course, here we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I've suggested that is about the assurance of resurrection. It's as if God, as we walk in obedience to God, it's as if he puts his Spirit on us. And then wherever we are, he knows where we are. It's as if even if we go into the depths of hell, because we have the Spirit in us, God knows where we are. And he will come and find us, and he will rescue us. A fourth picture on the day of Pentecost. And this is where we pick up the words of Peter. This is where everybody says to Peter, okay, what do we do? Peter has just talked about this Jesus, the Jesus who lived and had done wonderful things. And yet he had died, he'd been crucified. And yet Peter says, God raised him from death. Now Jesus has explained to his disciples, look, I'm able to make this journey because I love God. I trust him. Whatever I get into, I trust him to raise me from death. He had the baptism at the beginning of his ministry. That anticipation. Here's the Spirit, Jesus. I love you. I'm not going to let you go. I love my Father. I'll do whatever he says. I trust him enough. Whatever happens, he will raise me. Now, what should we do? The people say to Peter. And Peter says, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. what do we have here? Firstly, we have this word repent, this turning of our life. Repent. Put your life in a place of obedience where you can say to God, I trust you utterly, completely with my whole life. That if I walk in obedience with you, to repent is to step into the way of God. You will get me out if I get into trouble because I'm obeying you. Even if I go to death, I hope, I trust, I believe you will raise me to life. And then there is the challenge about baptism. Repent and be baptized. And here we have, as with Jesus, the anticipation of resurrection. We're living that out. We're enacting it. We're saying, I obey. I'm putting my life in the path of Jesus. I'm hoping for resurrection. I'm hoping God will save me wherever. Now I'm being baptized. I'm anticipating, like Jesus did, if I die, God will raise me. But then we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus receive when he was baptized? Well, he received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that assurance of resurrection. Wherever you are, Jesus, the Father seems to be saying, I'll know where you are. I will not abandon you. I know sometimes we can get the impression that when Jesus died on the cross, that the Father somehow abandoned Jesus. Well, the Apostle Peter says it didn't happen. God did not abandon him to the grave. God did not let his son go because Jesus was the one to whom the Father has said, you're my son. I love you. And in that, we can have that same assurance as Jesus did, that if we step into the way of Jesus, if we say we will obey, we will repent and turn our lives around, we can live in the hope of resurrection. Whatever I get into, because I'm obeying Jesus, God will help me. God will raise me. Even if I die, God will raise me. My baptism anticipates that resurrection. It is the enacting of what is to come. It is the saying, I obey you, I trust you, Father, and I will put everything on the line for you. And as we come up out of the water, it's as if God says, here's the Spirit. I love you, my child. I will never abandon you. And he gives to us that assurance of the Holy Spirit. I want to just stick in one word into each of these phrases. Obedience. I want to suggest it's the loving hope of resurrection. Not just the hope, but it's infused with love. I want to suggest that baptism is that loving anticipation of resurrection. That act of baptism is overflowing with love of God for us and love of us for God. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is God's loving assurance he gives to us that he will raise us to life. Resurrection and the Holy Spirit, how do they come together? Well, they come together in Jesus, in obedience, in love, and then the blessing of the Spirit. And it may be for us that we have to just stop a moment and think, where am I? Where am I on my journey? Am I in that place of obedience? Have I stepped into the way of Jesus? Because we can say, you know, how easy it is for us to say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christian. But do we trust him? Do we have that deep, loving hope of resurrection? I trust him and I'll obey him every step. Because I know he'll raise me. Have we been baptized? To say to God, to say to everybody else, I trust God. If I die, he will raise me. Have we received the gift of the Spirit? Do we need to know in a fresh way that God is our Father? He loves us and He would never abandon us. And He wants us to know that love deeply and passionately today. Let's pause, and we're just going to be silent for a few moments. Father, we pray to know just a simple touch of your love, to remind us that we are loved. And your love does not depend on what we have done or who we are, where we've been or where we will go. But you love us with a never-ending love. Father, we pray for ourselves that we might have that deep trust in you. Out of our love for you, that deep trust to obey you and to walk your way. In the sure and certain hope of resurrection from the dead. Pour your Spirit upon us, we pray. For Father, you see the intent of our hearts. You see the desire that we have. And yet also you know the questions and the uncertainty. But take our desire and strengthen it within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.